We want to welcome you to Refreshed with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting meritassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs coming to you on behalf of Merit Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh radio broadcast, and I'll just start off today by apologizing for my voice. It has decided to go south for the winter or south for the summer. I don't know where it went, but it's we're fighting to get it back. So anyway, but we're still going to bring the good news of Jesus Christ to you today, and hope you're planning on having a great Wednesday. We're going to be having our vintage service today at 11 o'clock. It'll be the first time in about 3 weeks that we've been able to have that. But we are going to be meeting and praying and worshiping the Lord. As long as there are needs, there's still a good opportunity to pray and believe for a miracle. We're going to be worshiping the Lord and preaching the word. So that'll be taking place today at 11. Our kids ministry has a fun night tonight at beginning at 6:30. Food starts at 6. This is back to school, so I do want to remind you to be praying for the kids as they go back to school. And like I say, I do apologize for my voice today. If I have to cough, I will try and make sure that I mute it as much as I can. But if you would be praying that my voice returns, I use my voice a lot. And so on Sunday I was preaching and may have gotten a little over exuberant. Anyway, we've got a good report to bring to you. I want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. If you are here in the central part of the county and you are having problems with your air conditioner, give Bill Andriak a call, 759-3284. He can get you back up and running, give you good counsel. I was reading the news the other day about an air conditioning company that had been defrauding customers by telling them that they were needing unnecessary repairs. And I just want to let you know that that is not the way that Creative AC Solutions does their business. They have had customers from this radio program that had been told they needed entirely new systems. And this goes back all the way pretty close to the first that we came on the air. And when Bill went out there, he found that they did not need a whole new system. He was able to get them back up and running. So we want to say thank you to them. Thank you to you for listening and also for frequenting the establishments that help bring the Refresh radio broadcast to you. So we're going to be in Genesis, the 42nd chapter today. Genesis, the 42nd chapter. While you're turning there, I do want to invite you out to our leadership seminar this Saturday morning from 9 until 12:30. It's a free meeting. It's not just church related. It's actually leadership related. It's business related. I believe that God wants his people to be in leadership in the church for sure, but in their home. I believe that he wants godly leaders in the marketplace. I believe that he wants godly leaders in management. I believe that he wants godly leaders in politics. I believe that godly leaders cause a group of people to be promoted. And so if you would like to enhance your leadership skills, come out Saturday morning from 9 until 12:30, be in our sanctuary, and we just invite you to come and be a part of that. And then Sunday morning he will be preaching. Duke Matlock will be preaching. And then Sunday night, we're going to give everybody that night off to try and catch their breath. Kids will get a chance to rest up after three grueling days of going to school, and they'll be prepared to jumpstart themselves for the weekend. So those are the things that are coming up this week. So Genesis, the 42nd chapter, verse number 1, and it says, when Jacob saw that there was grain in Egypt, Jacob said to his sons, why do you look at one another? And he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. Go down to that place and buy for us there, that we may live and not die. So Joseph's 10 brothers went down to buy grain in Egypt. But Jacob did not send Joseph's brothers, Benjamin, with his brothers, for he said, lest some calamity befall him. And the sons of Israel went to buy grain among those who journeyed, for the famine was in the land of Canaan. Now Joseph was governor over the land, and it was he who sold to all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. And Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he acted as a stranger to them and spoke roughly to them. Then he said to them, where do you come from? And they said, from the land of Canaan to buy food. So Joseph recognized his brothers, but they did not recognize him. Then Joseph remembered the dreams which he had dreamed about them and said to them, you are spies. You have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said to him, no, my lord, but your servants have come to buy food. We are all one man's sons. We are honest men. Your servants are not spies. But he said to them, no, but you have come to see the nakedness of the land. And they said, your servants are 12 brothers, the sons of one man in the land of Canaan. And in fact, the youngest is with our father today, and one is no more. But Joseph said to them, it is as I spoke to you, saying, you are spies. In this manner, you shall be tested. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not leave this place unless your youngest brother comes here. Send one of you and let him bring your brother, and you shall be kept in prison, that your words may be tested to see whether there is any truth in you, or else by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. So he put them all together in prison 3 days. Let's stop the reading there for today. I want to start off here at the beginning of chapter 42 with word that has reached Canaan. The word that has reached there is spoken by Jacob, and he said, indeed, I have heard that there is grain in Egypt. So go down to that place and buy for us there that we may live and not die. And I believe with all my heart that there is a place of resource, that a place of abundance where people can come, seek out what is available, and that they will live and not die. I believe that there should be bread in the house of God. I believe that when we preach, that we are not here to preach opinions, that we are not here to preach philosophy, that we are not here to preach the wisdom of this world, but we are here to proclaim the living word of Jesus Christ, the word which is quick and powerful and able to divide asunder between soul and spirit and discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. I believe that we are called to proclaim the word which is settled forever in heaven and on earth. And so that is what people need. They need to know that when their source of sustenance has died up, that there is a place that they can turn to. And that's one of the reasons why we are here on the Refresh Radio broadcast, is for people to know that there is a God who is available to them, even in the time of famine. The scripture describes that there are not only famines of food, but it was prophesied in the Old Testament that there would be a time when there would be a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. Right now, the word has been banished from several segments of our society, but the truth of the matter is the word of God is necessary for people to live and to thrive. The scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so that means that you and I, we need to partake of the word of God, not just for informational sake, but it has spiritual sustenance for us. So I encourage you today to make the word of God a part of your life so that you thrive spiritually, so that you are truly alive, and that you are helping to proclaim and spread the news. Somebody had to leave Egypt and say, you know what? Egypt is different than the rest of the land around here right now because they have food. They have food. Now, I declare to you that the reason they had food is because they had managed their abundance in accordance with God's plan and Joseph's wisdom that had been implemented than the rest of society had. So many times we just think that as things are is the way that they always will be. But the truth of the matter is there is only one that does not change, and that is God. Everything else changes. My wife and I recently went out to begin to look for me a new pair of glasses. And as we looked for those glasses, I decided that there were some things that needed to change. And the reason that it needed to change is because my hair color is no longer the same as it used to be. And so when I first got glasses, my hair had changed from a very, very, very blonde, which is what it was when I was growing up. It changed to more of a brownish tone by the time I got into my teen years and my early 20s. And so I would have a gold-trimmed glass and a pair of glasses and stuff like that. And so I tried some that had that same color scheme on. But when my wife looked at them, she said, those wash out your face. And then when the lady was there in the glasses vendor, she said, oh, no, not those. And so then there was, well, I could go with black, and that just reminded me too much of the glasses that I remember my dad wearing when I was growing up, and I just said, no, I can't do that. And finally, we realized that the hair color was no longer brown. It was now an executive blonde, shall we call it. And so things change. My body doesn't do the same things that it used to, in spite of the fact that my mind tells my body that it can still do the same things that it used to. So if you find yourself in a place of abundance right now, I ask you to implore God for wisdom. If you find yourself in a position of leadership, Solomon's greatest desire when he was made king was for leadership to lead God's people God's way. So how we handle our time of blessing, I'll be honest with you, one of the reasons that people are not as blessed as they could be is because people do not handle blessing as well as they do adversity. I'm not saying that to insult anybody. I'm just saying that our fallen nature's desire is the same as that which Israel had, which when they were enslaved, they cried out for deliverance. God delivered them, and then he prospered them, and then they forgot God, and then they began the cycle all over again where they ended up in bondage. The reason was not because God only has the power to bless for a season, but because the people began to get complacent. They began to think that they were self-made people, and they began to turn their backs away from God during blessing. Last week I was at our general counsel. There was a businessman there that started out his company with a $600 loan. $600, I mean, that's just insignificant. That was back in the 70s. Last year, he said that their sales exceeded $4.1 billion. That's a rather significant jump. And so he said along the way, they have had to make some conscious decisions in order to keep God first in their business. And so as a result of that, when competitors thought that they were going to crush them, that instead they have continued to thrive. He said, God is the owner of my business. God is the owner of my business. And so they make decisions. They have charitable contributions that go to fund some tremendous things. And so I just encourage you today that if you find yourself in a place of abundance, to steward that properly. Ask God, say, God, how do you want me to handle this? If you find yourself in a position of lack, then you need to find yourself in the same position that Jacob is, and that is, God, where is the resource that you have for me? I tell you that God can provide in the most unusual ways. When there were armies that were dying of thirst, they went into the wilderness, or I believe it was Elisha commanded them to dig pits in the valley, and it was a very clay-based region. And so as they dug those holes, when they got up the next morning, those holes were filled with water. The enemy that had surrounded them thought that they were pools of blood, and so they came down, and God gave them a great victory. That's a very unique situation. Allow God to utilize you to the best of your ability and allow him to lead you for creative solutions. Elijah getting fed by ravens, as far as I can tell, is one of the first food delivery services. And then he ends up in a place of a widow in Zarephath, who it's just her and her young son. They have no natural resources whatsoever, just a little meal and a little oil, and God uses that supply to sustain them until the famine ceases. So find out where God would have you to seek his blessing, and make sure that that first place is in the Word of God and in fellowship with his people. So he commands his sons, his 10 sons, to go down to Egypt to buy bread. And he said that when they went down there, now the one person that he did not send Joseph. Joseph had, in his mind, was already dead. He did not send Benjamin because Benjamin was his last remaining son from Rachel, the wife that he loved. And he describes his life as being intertwined with that young man's life. And he just didn't want anything to happen to that son. May I encourage you to treasure all of your children? Can I encourage you to treasure all your brothers and sisters in Christ? Because each one of them has their own unique capabilities, their own unique purpose in God. You will do yourself a great disservice as a parent if you begin to favor one child over another. You will do your children a great disservice if you begin to favor one of the children over the other. You and I are called to have a righteous and true standard. So he sends his sons down, and it says that they encounter Joseph, who was in charge of selling the food to all the people in the land. And so Joseph's brothers come, and they bowed down before him with their faces to the earth. And it says in verse number 7 that Joseph saw his brothers and recognized them, but he has acted as a stranger to them. He spoke roughly to them, and he said to them, "Where do you come from?" So today I wanted to ask about this question. How are you going to respond in that day when you come face to face with the person who has grieved you and offended you in a life-altering way? I'll ask the question again. How will you respond on that day when you come face to face with that person or group of people who have offended you in a life-altering way? I want to point something out to you. Joseph was the person who was victimized, and he recognized his brothers before they recognized him. They did not recognize him whatsoever. But he did. Isn't it amazing that we can have a very vivid recollection of the people who've offended us, and yet the people who've done the offense, they may not have any recollection about what we look like. What I remember having a conversation with a person one time, and we each knew some people. One had treated another party very badly, and we were discussing that, and he said, whenever I hear something like that, I always ask the question, why do they walk that way? Why do they walk that way? Another thing that they said was, are they sowing or is that person reaping? See, God told Noah, as long as the earth should endure, that there would be seed time and harvest. There is going to be a sowing and a reaping process. Both of those things can be taking place simultaneously. So I want to ask you how would you respond? Excuse me. Because all of us are going to be offended, and all of us are going to be offensive at some point in time. And I just want to encourage you that if you have been the victimized, to allow God to do what he did for Joseph. Remember, he had his son Manasseh, and he said, God has made me to forget all that happened, all the pain, all the toil. And then he had another son named Ephraim, and he said, he's made me fruitful. That cannot take place as long as we are clinging to the offense that has occurred to us. And so I just want to challenge you and to encourage you today, don't allow your past to command your future. Do not allow your past offense to imprison you in hopelessness or bitterness or discouragement. Because it's going to take us several more broadcasts to get through Joseph here. So I'm not going to take you all the way to the end of it right now. But the truth of the matter is, God is in control of your life. God is in control of your life. He works all things together for the good of those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose. That doesn't mean that God has put his stamp of blessing on the way that people have treated you badly. It just means that he is able to turn the enemy's curse into a blessing. That which was meant to destroy you is actually going to lift you up. We had our grow groups on Sunday night, and I shared with everybody at the very end one of my favorite stories about being stuck in the pit. And that was a farmer who had his favorite mule, and he got up one morning and found that his mule had stumbled and fallen into a pit. He had dug a hole for some reason. The mule ended up in the pit, and he tried absolutely everything he could to get that mule out. It was one of his favorite mules. Had been together a long time, done a lot of work together with that mule. And finally he came to the conclusion that there was just no way that he was going to be able to get that mule out. And so he decided that the only thing that he could do was bury the mule. So he went and he got his front end loader, and he began to push the dirt into the hole, and it landed on top of the back of the mule. The mule shook it off, and then he began to prance around. And there came another shovel full, and another shovel full, and another shovel full, and another bucket full. And the more that there was poured into this pit with the intent of burying the mule alive, the more that the mule just shook it off and patted it down under its feet, and that which was meant to bury it, that which was meant to destroy it and steal its very life, the mule transformed into a foundation, which every time there was a bucket load that went down there, the mule began to lift higher, and finally the hole was so full that the mule just walked out. And today I want you to know, the devil is a liar. He has come to steal. He's come to kill. He's come to destroy. He's come designed to fill you with hopelessness, discouragement, and despondency. And he is a bully. He intends on seeing you in the grave. That don't take it personal. The reason that he wants to see you in a grave is because you remind him so much of Jesus. You were created in the image of the Father. You were created in the image of the Son. You were created by God. And so every time he sees you, it reminds him of God, reminds him of his own sin, of his own misery, of his own future and destiny. That's why he is so intent on killing preborn babies. That is why he was so intent on destroying the children of Israel a little bit later in the book of Exodus. That's why he was so intent on killing Moses, so intent on killing Jesus, trying to exterminate the Jewish people during World War II and over and over and over again throughout history. He just wants to see you dead. But today I want to remind you that there is only one person who has authority over the day that you cross eternity's threshold. And that person is not you, and it's not the devil. That person is Jesus Christ. He is the one who set up that appointment for you. So today, on this Wednesday, do not let the devil bury you, but instead say, you know what? Jesus is lifting me up. I know that that round of bad news, it didn't feel good. It had the ability to take me out. But today I'm going to use that to compel me to be closer to Jesus than I've ever been before. Joseph saw them and he recognized them, but he acted like a stranger to them. He acted like a stranger. I just want to close today's broadcast by telling you to do this. If you've been offended, if you've been hurt, you've been wounded, instead of acting like a person of revenge, act like a person that is completely foreign to their understanding. Act like a person says, I have exactly what you need. I have the bread of life, and I want to bless you with it. Father, right now I pray for people who've been wounded, that, Lord, you would heal them. I pray, God, that the word would begin to get out throughout this community, that there is fresh bread in the churches that preach the word of God throughout this community. God, no matter what the name is over the door, if they are preaching the word of God, let it get out that there's bread in your house. May God bless you. Have a great day. Pray for my voice. We'll see you here tomorrow on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510, 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.